Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by a Horse Truck and Got Isekai'd into Equestria? I'm your host, Ponyville's beloved Graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling co-host, Spilled Beans. How you doing today, Beans?
I'm doing fairly well. It's been a good couple weeks. Now that the whole town's settled down from having to be rebuilt and everything, you know?
Yeah, the town is no longer in its post-Vord state. We've been able to open for business, and yeah. It's been good.
Mm-hmm. The kids are back in school, and that isn't a weighted sentence at all, because of the human world we have nothing to know about. There's no way that's a relevant statement to make.
The kids are normal, everything's fine, there's only the regular amount of diseases in this week's episode of Our Lives. Season 1, Episode 12, Call of the Cutie. Directed by the same people as always, written by Megan McCarthy, original air date, January 7th, 2011.
Wonderful. That's horse.
Yeah, and so to start this episode off, we are in a school, and let me tell you, I feel weird looking in the window of a school, dear.
Yeah, I was having some trouble with that myself. I don't know. It's a weird one, but yeah. Hopefully we don't need to do this too often.
Yeah. And we see Cheerily, a very good horse. I'm quite fond of Cheerily. In general, as a concept. And she's telling us all what cutie marks were all about. She's talking about her cutie mark, how every pony has a special cutie mark that they get when they realize what they are going to do with the rest of their lives, what their special talent is, what their place is in the guy economy, and so on.
I'm still quite impressed that when she walks into the room at the very start, like, there seems to be some fairly advanced math on the board there. Like, it's got, I think they had, like, Delta D in there, and, like, I didn't even know what the fucking Delta meant until, like, high school for me. So, I don't know. Apparently these kids get some much more advanced math than we did.
Mm-hmm. These horses, huge brains. They're measuring the change in things all the time.
You can really count on these horses.
Yeah. And, so Cheerily, this very good cranberry pony, cranberry-colored pony, I should say, explains, blah, 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 your cutie mark is something that represents your special talent, the thing you're best at, the thing that makes you special. Every pony has one and only one. They are, but you don't get one when you're born. Everyone's born with a blank flank, and that's an interesting thing to talk about, which is, like, you hear people call ponies blank flanks, but in this episode, at least, it's used exclusively as a pejorative.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, a completely normal term for something is suddenly being used as, like, a slur just because you can, you know, be shitty to someone about it.
Yeah, like, to be clear, Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon, like, the TV show really wants you to hate these children.
Yeah, so, they are two very shitty children.
I remember seeing this episode for the first time back in the day. It's like, oh, I hate these horse children. But then yeah. I would wind up playing Silver Spoon a lot on the internet. And so, I mean, she's definitely the better of the two. We'll see. She gets a bit of a face turn later. But
oh, I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a really good episode, if I recall. That was when we find out that Diamond Tiara's dad is named Filthy Rich.
Oh, God, that's beautiful.
And I think her mom's name is, like, Spoiled Rich or something like that.
Okay, that raises so many questions. Because, like, was her name Spoiled something before that and then they got married?
Yeah, or I think so, yes. I think we actually get information on this. I don't know. I don't remember, and we're going to get there eventually. There's no sense in looking it up, but I want to say her name was, like, Spoiled Milk or something until she got married or some shit like that.
Holy shit, what a horrible cutie mark to have. It's like, Spoiled Milk. What a way to be cursed in this world.
Right?
I would like to point out, just before we get too far ahead, because Cheerily did have the very good display of different cutie marks.
Yeah.
One of them was bonbons. One of them was a pair of horseshoes, which I think is shoe shines. Mm-hmm. We had carrot tops in there, and at the bottom of that page, was a pair of 69ing dolphins, and I would like to know about that, Tony, please.
There are
I would like details.
There are marine biologists.
Yeah. Either way, I would like to know more about this one pony, please. Thank you very much.
So cheerily refers to her cutie mark, which is a set of three smiling flowers that represent the way she makes knowledge blossom, and the smiling faces represent the smiling faces of her students, which feels a bit like working backwards. Like,
yeah,
three smiling flowers can mean a lot of things, but cheerily tells us, I mean, she's a teacher, and we have no reason to really doubt her.
I have to feel like it might be she tried gardening for a bit and realized that wasn't actually the case. Like, but my cutie mark is flowers, but they're smiling. it's a metaphorical cutie mark rather than a literal one. I see how this works.
Yeah, like, we know this. Cutie marks can be pretty abstract, especially because, like, not every talent can be represented easily visually.
Yeah, like, Twilight's is a star. Like, she might be, like, a good, like, astronomer instead of being good at magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, there's some interpretation there, but it's usually buoyed by the fact that, you know what you're doing when you got your cutie mark.
Mm-hmm.
Though I want to say there's one episode later on, or this may have been a fan figure or something, where there's a guy who, like, he has his cutie mark, but, like, he doesn't know what it means. And so
I hope that's real.
I think it is. I'm, like, 90% sure it is. And, like, I think he finds out he's a clown. Like, his special talent is being a clown.
Oh, yikes. Oh, yikes.
But it's a good episode, if I recall correctly. If you wrote this fanfiction instead, I'd like to hear about it. But I'm 99% sure it really happened.
You can also tell this show is definitely from, like, mid-early aughts, because, goddamn, Cheerly says, like, his or hers, or, like, he or she a lot. When you could just, like, there and they are just, it's so much easier to say. It's like,
It's really trying hard to call attention to it. It sounds so awkward. I wrote that down on my nose, because it sounded so much like that.
Yeah, like, it's amazing that efficient and inclusive language just is easier to say. I don't understand why people do this unless they're intentionally trying to be shitty.
Yep. You're on notice, Cheerily, you shitlord. No, it was 2010.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is writers, not her. She's much better when she's not being taken over by the spirit of the show.
Yeah. Ambushing Cheerily outside the schoolhouse when she's left the plot, like, quick, Cheerily, gender that guy! We get a very good picture of Cheerily's visual aids include pictures of herself.
Yeah.
One is, you know, herself as a little baby who doesn't have her cutie mark yet, and one of, like, radical 80s teen Cheerily with her flower cutie mark.
And like, zaggedy mane? Oh my god, it's such a fucking good look. It's powerful.
Right? I think it's due for a comeback.
Yeah.
I think it's due for a horse comeback, IMO.
Yeah, right? Get that in the wagon. Let's get it going.
Yeah. I'll crimp your hair if you want, dear. Get you some leg warmers.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's see how that goes. Oh, leg warmers sound nice.
Yeah. I mean, I already have leg warmers. Her name is Spilled Beans, and,
But what if leg warmers for cuteness sake rather than because of temperature?
Well, you're also very cute, dear, but also, yes, I agree. I think we should both get some leg warmers.
Yeah.
We also get, I think one of our first title drops, which is when Cheerily calls her class My Little Ponies.
Yeah, we've had it once or twice before, but that was definitely a very, like, blunt title drop.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
If you listen closely, I'm outside the window hooting and hollering because I cannot resist a title drop.
Yeah.
Truly, they were My Little Pony. Friendship is magic. We also see, so this is where we kind of get introduced to the main conflict of the episode, which is that Apple Bloom, Applejack's little sister, who we've met before, but, like, she hasn't really done very much until now.
Yeah, she kind of bullied her sister in the whole,
Zecora thing.
Yeah, that this is a Kuro episode, and then like kind of showed up a few times whenever we saw the Apple Family Farm afterwards. But like, yeah, she's been unimportant in the plot since Sakura.
Yeah, this is kind of her time to shine.
Mm.
And Apple Bloom and her friend Twist are the only two ponies in their class who don't have their cutie marks yet. I'll put a pin in that one. I'll bring it up later.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple Bloom is pretty consistently bullied by Silver Spoon and Diamond Tiara for this. They call her a blank flank. They make fun of her for not having her cutie mark yet. And this is as good a time as any to mention that, like, getting your cutie mark is like horse puberty. Like, it's treated as like, because like we'll see a little later, like, it's a rite of passage. Because Diamond Tiara, part of the driving, actually, the latter part of the plot is Diamond Tiara's cute signora. Get it? Do you get it?
It's real bad. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's real weird that we have a, like, puberty metaphor that hits, like, preteen, like, flagging horses. Like, this is a strange existence we live in.
Yeah. In Alternate Universe, they have a Bar Marks fund instead.
Ah. That's very good.
Thank you. I came up with it myself. So, like, you know, Diamond Tiara hands Apple Bloom a note to, like, pass to Silver Spoon. Notices...
Sorry, go ahead. Mouths her a note.
Yeah.
There are hands. We don't have hands here.
Offers...
Yeah.
Apple Bloom a note and, like, tries to get her to take it and give it to Silver Spoon. And, like, mind you, they're sitting in, like, the front row or just about, but Cheerily only notices as soon as Apple Bloom puts her mouth on it, which... Don't get me wrong, that happened literally every time I tried to get away with something in school.
Oh yeah, yeah. My note for this is just like, ah, cool, great. The bullied gets in trouble for the bully doing shit.
But, yeah, though, admittedly, what happens is, Cheerily notices, yells at Apple Bloom, who drops the note. The note is blank, and then Diamond Tiara is like, ah, just like your flank, ha!
And Cheerily just walks away from that.
Yeah, way to do anti-bullying, Cheerily. Like,
yeah, I love the smiles on your students' faces as they're laughing at one of their peers. Good call.
The smiling student's cutie mark means that so long as a majority of your kids are happy, you're good. Or at least three of them. My special talent is to make at least three children happy at a time.
Yeah. Like, the thing that really got me was, Twist was laughing as well?
Yeah, which is fucked up, because, like...
Yeah.
Twist is Apple Bloom's friend. She's, like, the only one Apple Bloom really has in her corner right now.
Yeah, and, like, Twist also is a blank flank, so why is she laughing at a blank flank getting teased? This is stupid.
Yeah, like, they're laughing at you too, Twist. Like, you're getting kind of the splash damage here. So after class, Apple Bloom is talking to Twist. Twist is, I like Twist. She's got the big glasses. She kind of speaks with this kind of, like, nasally. Kind of stereotypically dorky voice, I think is how we're supposed to read her. You know, lots of a...
Twist absolutely is quietly running a, like, I don't know, some sort of tabletop role-playing game.
Oh, absolutely.
For her friends. I would not be
surprised if that happens later on. Like, when I close my eyes, I can absolutely, like, flash forward to, this might be fan art, this may have actually happened, Twist, the Cutie Mark Crusaders, and Snips and/or Snails, like, sitting around a table, and, you know, Twist is behind that classic Dungeon Master screen thing, and they're all dressed up, you know.
Aw, yeah. Aw, fuck yeah. The kids are okay. The kids are alright.
Several of the kids are alright.
A majority of the kids are alright.
Yeah, so, Twist is talking to Apple Bloom. She's like, hey, do you want this candy I made? I made some candy. Do you want candy? And Apple Bloom's like, no, I don't want candy. I want a cutie mark. And Twist's like, come on.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. Not in so many words. I'm paraphrasing here.
Mm-hmm.
Or pony phrasing, as the case may be.
Ah.
And then Silver Spoon and Diamond Tiara show up to be just terrible and to, like, to make fun of Apple Bloom more, rub salt in the wound, and say, oh, but you're still invited to my cute signora. Blank, blank.
God, I want to just kick these girls into the river.
Yeah, like, and then they do their, like, they have their little secret handshake, their little bump, bump, sugar lump, rump thing.
Yeah, that's very uncomfortable. Why did they animate extremely young characters doing this? I do not like it.
Like, they, for those of you at home, I don't remember all of it because I feel like I would go to jail if I did, but, they put their hooves together, that's the bump bump, and then they press their butts together to show off their cutie marks. That's the sugar lump rump part.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. It really just, and like, you hate these children. The show wants you to hate these children. They are the villains of the piece, and,
yeah, you really want to just hate these kids.
Yeah.
These kids are assholes, and you really want to hate them.
Like, they activate, like, every... They're bullies. They are 100% bullies. They're supposed to be bullies, and they succeed at making them bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just activates every, like, righteous urge in your body. Like, if every, like, part of me that's ever been bullied, which is most of them, like, wanted to kick these kids.
Like, just to make it very clear, listeners, Silver Spoon and Diamond Tiara, they are rich motherfuckers who are just bullying other kids.
Yep.
They are assholes in every way.
They have zero redeeming qualities until, like, again, several seasons later when Silver Spoon, like, finally realizes, maybe we shouldn't be doing this, Diamond Tiara. Maybe this is bad.
Maybe we're the assholes.
And, like, if I remember that episode correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, is that, like, I canonize what I always suspected about those two, which is Diamond Tiara doesn't have a lot of friends because would you be friends with her?
No.
So Silver Spoon is, like, kind of feels bad for her and is trying to, like, please, Diamond, could you be normal? Can you be less of a dick? And is also kind of being bullied and manipulated in this. She's also kind of being taken advantage of. It's a hell of a dynamic.
Yeah, it's not great.
But anyways, they do this. They call them Blank Flanks one more time. And then next time we see Apple Bloom, she is talking to Applejack. Like, hey, what am I going to get my cutie mark? And Applejack's like, well, when I got my cutie mark, I'm not going to try and do her voice. When I got my cutie mark, I was doing apples, and then my apple cutie mark showed up, and then I knew I was going to do apples.
Yeah, I saw the cutie mark, and I was like, oh, dang, I got three apples on my ass. Clearly the answer is, I'm going to take over the family farm. Don't question about a time that I had seven. It doesn't exist. It's not real. The time I had five and a weird slave collar around my neck, because that was the only image we could find on the internet of that movie. Don't ask about it, Applejack. But also, we get the interesting piece of information that Applejack, Big Mac, and I think Granny Smith, I think Granny Smith was mentioned as well, got their cutie marks, like, last in class.
Yep, as at Applejack.
Yeah. The Apple family are all late bloomers.
Yep. Though, like, when your last name is Apple, and, like, you can look at your family tree, like, Granny Smith is an apple pie, Big Mac is half an apple.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of guess.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, and Apple Bloom reaches this conclusion as well. She's like, oh, my cutie mark is probably going to be something to do with apples, huh?
It runs in the family. It runs in the family.
Yeah. And then, so she decides, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be really good at selling apples, and then I'll get my apple mark, and then I'll be president of apples one day. And then they'll all see. I'll put Diamond Tiara in horse jail.
Ah. If only we could be so lucky.
Look, I'm a prison abolitionist, and I especially don't think we should put I especially don't think we should put children in jail.
This is fair.
But I want you to watch this episode, dear listener, and, like, not think for a second that she wouldn't deserve it. Anyways, I feel weird. They're children. They're fictional children.
They're, yeah, like...
Don't get me wrong, I also think the people who bullied me, me in high school and middle school, should also be in jail. But, I don't have a good ending for this.
I don't know, we'll have to find some time to run into these two when they're not being possessed by the plot of the show, and see if they're, you know, better ponies when they're not being made the complete assholes.
Yeah. If you bullied me in middle school and you're out there, fuck you. You know who you are. Anyways, Apple Bloom's trying to sell some apples.
Yeah. She's very aggressive and very bad.
Yep, so we're at this kind of marketplace, kind of Ponyville's town square or whatever. We see Lyra hanging out with some pony, whose name I don't know. We see Bon Bon talking to Carrot Top, and they are selling apples. Apple Bloom is like, you can buy some apples. By the way, the phrase buy some apples was very common in the early fandom, both as like and I think just a thing to say, and also just like, you know, ah, buy some apples, you know, like a
just a thing people said, because that's
as well, yes, but also just like as like a shucks, ah, darn it, ah, buy some apples.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
This is baffling to me, but also it's like, you know, the early 2010s.
Yeah, I'll bet
it
never
tracks.
I never 100% understood the situations people use it in, but people did say it. It was not pretty common, but like it was a phrase some people latched onto.
Yeah, it's one of those things that feels more like it's an inside joke because it can be one, not because it's funny.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, one person said it and then realized they said something stupid and then had the charisma to make it work anyway.
It was a friendship is witchcraft joke. That would explain it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. Which I never watched, so that explains why, like...
I did, but I also really only enjoyed the, like, musical sections from Friendship is Witchcraft. The rest of it was all a little, even at the time, was a little too memes-heavy for me.
Yeah, okay. So. Yeah, so the quick rundown here is that there was an episode of Friendship is Witchcraft wherein they do, in fact, use the phrase buy some apples to, like, what normally you would, like, bleep something out, like, in order to, you know... You say the character is swearing, but they play buy some apples over it as to censor it.
Okay. All right, that makes some sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
I have a vague memory of that. But,
yeah. That puts a pin on something I've been turning over in my head for a while now. I wonder where that came from.
Oh, well, now we know.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot about horse. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so Apple Bloom... Oh, buy some apples. They're delicious. They're nutritious. You can play with them. She says hitting an apple with a tennis racket. You can make art for your hope. She says kicking an apple against some canvas that some pony was about to paint on.
Which, like, I don't know. At some level, I know people who would buy art that is just, like, a carefully dried, like, apple kicked against a canvas like that.
Mm-hmm.
That has a space. Mm-hmm. Not the... The painter did not appreciate it, but like...
Yeah. Canvas is expensive.
Yeah. Of the pitches Apple Bloom makes, this is possibly the best one, mm-hmm. in that it is the least like, no, that's not what you do with apples.
Mm-hmm. And she walks up on Dr. Hooves and like really super pressures him into buying some apples.
Yeah.
He's like scared of her.
I mean...
And I kind of get it.
Yeah, like he's just trying to walk through the town square and fucking this tiny pony is in front of him, like screaming at him to buy apples.
Yeah, like he's like, I have apples at home. He's like, are you sure you have apples? Are you 100% super duper positive you have apples?
What if you want more apples? What if you don't have enough?
So
he buys like one for 3 bits.
Yeah. This, by the way, is one of the earliest times we see bits used to refer to the money, and I've always been of the impression that bits is like a slang term for what the money's actually called, just like how in, you know, in human world a bit is, you know, 12 and a half cents, it's half a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you say something is 2 bits, you mean it's 25 cents, but there's no coin called a bit.
Yeah,
but the fandom and possibly the show itself seems to have kind of coalesced around the idea that the coins themselves are called bits.
I mean, I was kind of assumed that was kind of along the lines of, like, calling dollars bucks and stuff like that, sure. As well. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, Applejack does offer him change, which is strange.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's like, you forgot your change, but he's too busy running. So he's certainly overpaid for that apple. And then, Apple Bloom, so like, Berry Punch is, like, looking at some apples, and Apple Bloom is like, hey, you touched it, you bought it. And she, like, is terrified and runs away, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, she has possibly the most adorable, like, animation things with this, because she just, like, is super bug-eyed and is leaning way back. It's the animators really went another way on that one.
Mm, pretty common vector back in the day, if I recall.
Yeah. And, Applejack is, like, trying to apologize and also coming on pretty strong because, like, you know, Apple Bloom is getting her, like, flushed and annoyed.
Yeah, and, Apple Bloom was like, oh, well, I don't have my Q&A mark yet. I must have to sell even harder. And then...
And then she just, like, dumps a shitload of apples in Bon Bon's bag and then demands money for it.
Yeah, she, like, accuses Bon Bon of stealing apples. And then it's like, hey, 4 bits, lady, pay up. Bon Bon does not like this, and Applejack just gives her, like, way more apples to make up for it.
And Bon Bon doesn't seem to want the more apples she's getting. Like, it seems by the end, when she's just got, like, both sides of her saddlebags just overloaded in apples and a giant bucket on her back, she is just, like, crawling away trying to get free of this whole apple situation.
Yeah, she does.
She didn't want one apple. She doesn't want all these apples.
Yeah, why do you, like, her saddlebags are dragging on the ground. And, like, I guess she is smiling as she walks away, which is like, yeah, there we go, that's better. But, like,
The smile to me definitely struck more as a, like, oh no, if I smile and walk away, they'll not put more apples on me. I'm just gonna go.
It is equally, or at least as plausible to read this as, please leave me alone, I'm going to leave now. Please stop giving me apples.
Yeah. Either way, it is not a good arrangement for anyone involved.
Yeah, and then Applejack's like, kind of takes Apple Bloom aside, like, look here, little sis. And I immediately thought, oh, I used to be one of those.
Mm.
I used to be little and sis.
Ah, the worst.
Now I'm neither of those. Character growth. And also, yeah. I'm physically larger now.
Ah, I have to admit, okay, I actually do miss being little. That was nice.
Yeah. I mean,
I liked being, like, 5 feet tall as human rather than 6 feet tall as human. Although now, I am one of the smaller horses around, so that is nice. Yeah.
You are My Little Pony, dear.
And if
you next time you want to feel small, dear, I'm sure that could be arranged.
Oh no, are we going to have to get some more of that poison joke?
No, we can if you want to, dear. I was just going to tarot over you and, you know, call you My Little Pony more.
That's probably much easier on the structure.
Yeah, like, if we wanted to do that, we really should have gotten, like, one of them roll-em-up garage doors or something, so, like, you know, we don't have to take a while every time I get poison joked.
But would it work the same way? I'd imagine the poison joke would insist on doing it in a way that isn't what we want. Because then it's not the joke.
That's a good point. It's not really a prank if you know what's going to happen and you want it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it seems better to just have you towering over me. That seems like a much better arrangement to me.
I agree, dear. So...
Very good.
Yeah, so Applejack's like, Apple Bloom, you should probably leave. You're not really helping, and frankly, you've made things worse. She says it in, like, nicer terms than that, but she's like, why don't you go play with Twist? And then,
Go hang out with Twist and, or like, go home. Don't do this thing you're doing right now. You are not helping.
And then Apple Bloom gives this tennis racket back to the tennis pony?
Not quite. Like, Apple Bloom starts arguing,
yeah.
And then the tennis pony's like, who's been using my racket? And then she's like, oh yeah, no, I probably should leave, actually.
Yeah, there we go.
Which, like, I have no idea who this racket pony is, but he, like, had a pretty particular outfit and, like, sideburns and stuff.
Yeah, no, yeah, so, a quick lookup suggests his name is Ace Point, which he is not named in the show, but, like, the toys and such they sell of him have the name. He's wearing shorts, like, pants, and, like, mm-hmm. a sweatband around exactly one hoof, a headband, like, a sweatband, and, he's got, like, you know, hair, like, kind of a horse mullet situation, and sideburns that kind of go all mutton chop and turn into a mustache. Like, he's got...
It's a real bad look.
Yeah, he's got, like, kind of cream-colored fur, a little bit of chest fluff, which is, I would say, it doesn't look as good on him as it does on me. And,
correct.
You don't see a lot of ponies with facial hair like this, and, because it goes from his hair, like, he's got kind of cream-colored coat, and then this kind of darker brown streak goes from his hair down along his chin, and then curves up on top of his mouth and under his nose.
Like, it's a, there was the TV show that was on for a while of, like, a dad and two sons who, like, made, like, chopper bikes a lot.
Yeah.
And the dad's facial hair is exactly this.
Yeah.
And it's the worst thing.
Yeah, he's got a handlebar mustache that connects to his mutton chops.
Yeah, it's...
American Chopper is the one you were thinking of, I think.
Yes, that, or, like, Orange County Chopper? I don't know, whatever. Is he a reference to someone, or did they just make this horrible pony into existence?
Like, I used to think he was, like, a reference, like, a specific tennis player.
Yeah, same. I guess this is just the, I don't know,
but
the Jungian ideal of a shitty tennis player?
Yeah, like, that's the weird thing, right? You'd think that, like, you would think he'd be, like, the way he's dressed and, like, drawn as a reference to something, but not that I can tell.
Baffling.
Mm-hmm. Though I am warning that, his chest fluff used to be chest hair that was deemed too human.
Yeah. Yeah. Little too human, I think.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Blah, blah, blah. Art director so-and-so said that the script called for a rather unimpressed tennis pony, so he thought it'd be funny to go in a 70s/Royal Tenenbaums kind of direction.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely the vibe they went. I don't like it, but it's what they went with.
Yep, that... Yeah, sure. They played tennis in the 70s, fair enough.
Yeah.
See, we have a very good 80s horse and a very bad 70s horse in this episode.
Ah, that bad 70s horse show.
Anyways, Apple Bloom goes off to see Twist, and she gets bullied again, I think.
Yes. Apple Bloom's like, okay, maybe we can go to the party, because, like, we both got blank flanks, and Twist is like, about that. And she, like, opens the door, because, like, you know, she's got the little half door thing, opens the bottom half, and, like, shows off that she's got, like, twin candy cane cutie mark thing going on.
Yeah, two candy canes kind of cross in such a way that they make a heart. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, and like, she's like, oh, look at my cool cutie mark, and Apple Bloom's like, yeah, it's a cool cutie mark, all right.
Yeah, and you can tell Twist is like, ah, I feel kind of bad about this,
I am very excited for this thing, but also, oh damn, I'm sorry. I've hurt my friend but with my excitement.
Yeah, I realize this is kind of rubbing salt in your wound there. And then...
Then Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon show up and are just even more assholes than before.
Yeah, they're rude about it, and there's a line here I want to put a pin in, which is, like, they're carrying a box, like a wrapped gift box, and they say something like, oh, Diamond Tiara, that outfit is going to look great on you at your cute senora. It's going to really show off your cutie mark. When we see her later, the outfit actively hides her cutie mark. You cannot see her cutie mark while she's wearing it.
Yeah, I was really baffled by the fact both of them are wearing, like, weird saddle outfits that are, like, not showing cutie marks at all. Those cutie marks are just gone under there.
Yeah, like, I'll admit I've never had a horse party like this for several reasons. But, like, it seems like if you're at a party where, like, I don't know, it seems like if you had a fresh tattoo party or whatever, people would want to see the tattoo, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you're having your cutie mark half party, it seems like people are going to want to see your cutie mark, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's like a birthday where you're like, you blow out the candles and then you show off your mark then. That seems weird. It feels weird to make people take their clothes off at their own party.
I mean, unless they're, like, consenting to it and that's... Yeah. Like, depends on the kind of party, but these kids should not be at that kind of party whatsoever.
Well, to be clear, like, it wouldn't be that weird because, like, they're ponies. It's normal for them to be naked.
Yes. See, the thing is, my brain, like, you went to, like, birthday parties and stuff, and my brain went to, like, this is a metaphor for puberty.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, cool, we're gonna have a big party and invite all your friends for the fact you have a period now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show off the fact you've got a period.
Yeah.
That's not concerning at all.
Look, it is a coming of age ritual. They're very common. It happens all over the place.
Yeah, just like the vibes and the
Yeah.
Like, especially after Applejack and Apple Bloom's conversation in the orchard before the whole apple selling thing that was like
being a late bloomer.
Yeah, like it was very much like period talk, not like becoming a teen talk.
Yeah. Oh, all my friends have pubes and I don't.
Exactly. God, it's really, really weird to think about the concept of someone knowing if their friends do or do not have pubes.
I'm led to believe this is the thing teenage boys like brag about. No one I ever knew, but I've seen like, I know, at least teen comedies and such that would, or, you know, awkward kid coming of age stories that would suggest it, or at least, like, that, like, kids are insecure about having one or not having one.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like,
you could call it, you could substitute having a beard or a mustache or your voice changing or any number of other things we associate with the physical process of maturing into adult that we associate with puberty.
Again, just like the conversation in the orchard was very specifically period talk.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's been much more vague. But
yeah.
It's hard for me to not draw that parallel in my brain anymore.
Yeah. A theory, if getting your cutie mark is pony puberty, and HRT makes you go through a second puberty, hormone therapy can change your cutie mark. Thank you.
Yes, correct.
I was assigned being good at candy making at birth, but now I'm really into having sex with guitars. I couldn't think of a second horse talent, to be honest. Now I'm a marine biologist. There we go.
Yeah, I guess the other question, flip side of that, is like maybe the cutie mark doesn't like actually, like what your cutie mark is doesn't make sense to you until you've taken HRT.
Yeah, or like they can be pretty metaphorical. You reinterpret it.
Yeah. Oh man, is Shirley trans? Like, is that part of why her cutie mark is so like metaphorically forced? Is originally she was assigned mare at birth, but that's the wrong way around.
Yeah, ASAB. But like we see her in baby mode. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
This is a weird episode.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, all right, after the teasing.
Yeah, we're gonna get to one of, like, my favorite joke of the episode, which is like, Apple Bloom is like sulking in the middle of town. She's like sitting on this little hill. She's like, you know, sad and upset. And Rainbow,
it's very cute and also sad.
Yeah. Rainbow Dash takes her head down. She's like, well, hey there, why are you hanging out of this dark cloud? Let me handle that for you. We pull back, and Rainbow Dash's head is taken out of a literal giant dark cloud.
Like, directly over Applewood. Yeah. It was very good.
It was really good. It got a good laugh out of me.
So, it does raise a question, though. Do upset ponies, if they're upset enough, do they just generate a dark cloud over them like this? Or did Rainbow Dash, in her wonderful bimbo energy brain, make this dark cloud, drag it down just for the joke, to try and cheer up Apple Bloom?
I really like that second interpretation. I really like the idea that Rainbow Dash would do this. It's kind of like, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, like, oh, this pony's upset. I'm gonna go make a dark cloud, like, sneak it over them, so I can, like, make a joke out of helping trying to get them out of their bad mood. Like, it's a very caring Rainbow Dash. It's nice to see.
Yeah, yeah. If I was in a funk, there's some kind of chance this would help. It would depend on the issue, but, you know, it's a good effort.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of like, I think, the first step of the running bit in this episode, where someone asks Apple Bloom what's wrong, like an adult who doesn't know what the problem is yet, and Apple Bloom recaps it really quickly, the entire thing with Diamond Tiara and how everyone else has a cutie mark, but she doesn't. And then it kind of ends on, she's speaking really quickly, and then ends on, but I want it now!
Yeah, it's really good, because, like, I think Shirley ends up doing it twice, but, like, both times, it's the entire, like, rundown of the plot up to this point is one breath, and then just, like, a deep inhale, and then I want it now.
Yeah, I want to say she does it three times. Like, she does it with Rainbow Dash, then Pinkie Pie, then Twilight.
Oh, that's right, she does do it with Pinkie Pie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe she doesn't do it with Pinkie Pie. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think Pinkie Pie just comes across as being sad. It's like, hey, I think Pinkie Pie, like, gets what's happening, but she doesn't. I don't think Apple Bloom tells her.
Again, Pinkie Pie can just see through the fourth wall. She just knows the plot. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And then, Pinkie Pie does just, like, walk up to random children and say, hey, you want to make some cupcakes?
That's not concerning at all.
I mean, I'll be honest, if Pinkie Pie invited me to help make cupcakes, I probably would. I think it would be, I don't know, I miss bacon, kinda.
Yeah.
You used to do it back when I had fingers.
Yeah.
I guess I could bake here.
But before we get to Pinkie Pie, we do have to talk about Rainbow a bit more.
Yeah, so Rainbow Dash is like, you know, I was the first pony in my class to get my cutie mark, because I'm really fast. I'm a really fast horse who's good at things.
I could not help thinking of the fact that Rainbow Dash always comes first.
Oh, Rainbow Dash thinks sex is a race.
Yes, 100%.
And
she will lap you. oh, fuck.
Okay, Rainbow Dash absolutely would, like, come first and then you know, do oral to make sure you also come. I think that's good.
Ah, see, I was just going for Rainbow Dash will just have multiple orgasms along the way. Okay, that's also good. Yeah. Look, Rainbow Dash is a fast horse in every way you can imagine.
Yeah.
Speaking of, she has a
Rainbow Premature Ejaculation Dash.
Originally she thought her cutie mark was a motion blurred hand and jizz. Fuck. Well, I guess motion blurred hoof. Either way.
Yeah. And so basically Rainbow Dash's idea here is we're just gonna try as many things as possible so that that way when you find the thing you're good at, you'll know and you'll get your cutie mark. Which is an idea
just speed run the fucking list.
Which is an idea we will see later, as because this episode is where the cutie mark crusaders come from, and they will continue to try pretty much this several more times. It will never work.
Unfortunate for them. Which, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, right. Like if you're trying to like find the thing you're good at, like it can help to try different things, but like the moral of the story that Apple Bloom is repeatedly told is like, you can't force this. Like, you know, it's good to try, and it's good to, like, earnestly engage with things, but, like, Apple Bloom isn't earnestly engaging with these things, right? Like, Rainbow Dash is, like, she's all coached up, she's, like, got the whistle and everything, and she's,
the
like...
The headbands, yeah, the whole thing.
And she's making Apple Bloom do push-ups while she explains it. It's like, okay, juggling, hang gliding, flying height, this, that, the other thing.
Karate, which is a bit of a weird flex.
Yeah, this episode's cultural something is all over the place.
Yeah. I will say, though, like, aside from the kind of racially heavy music they used, like, the actual, like, dojo scene they used for that, like, it has some really interesting design elements to it. Mm-hmm. I kind of actually want to see a, like, well-handled Asian city in Equestria.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I don't think it's going to be a thing we see, but like there's like actually pretty interesting artistic elements going on there, which I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, show me some pony godas.
Exactly. But you know they would be very racially insensitive with this show if they did that.
Yeah.
So it's probably a good thing we don't actually see it.
Yeah.
I hope.
They have their hooves full with the equivalents of real world cultures they've already have.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the buffalo yet. Anyways.
No, not yet. We keep mentioning it. I really love the idea of some listener just like very anxious about this buffalo episode with how much we've hyped up its problems.
Oh, it's worse than Zakora. I can tell you that right now. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So this all happens and then it doesn't work, of course.
We do have to talk about the last one.
Yeah.
Because I'm surprised this one didn't come up earlier. It is roller derby.
Yeah.
So, Rainbow Dash lesbian 100% confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell me Rainbow Dash is straight. She suggested roller derby.
Ah.
The most lesbian sport in existence.
Correct.
But yeah.
Now I want to try roller skating again. Well, if we do 80s night, I think those two dovetail nicely.
Yeah.
80s horse night.
Yeah. Afterwards, we get to see Rainbow like checking over her list of options and like so engrossed in this, she doesn't even notice Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon being shitty to Apple Bloom in the background.
Yeah, it's like, oh damn! Can you imagine not being special? That would suck. Imagine if you were the only person who wasn't special. Which, mind you, if you're the only person who's not special, that means you are special because you're the only person like you. But regardless,
yeah. That's a whole.
I realize that like when you're being bullied, like reasoning your way out of it with math isn't going to help.
Yeah, never does.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say mean things, and you have more money than I do, and you're rude to me constantly, and the teacher doesn't do anything about that. But check out this proof by induction. I mean. As a hypnodom, a proof by induction means something else, but regardless.
Yes. This is when Pinkie Pie comes in and is like, you know what you need? You need to see if your special talent is eating cupcakes with me.
Yeah. And then Apple was like, well, coach, you've been great to me. I've learned a lot, but I'm going to go see what Pinkie Pie is all about.
And, like, Rainbow Dash looks actually a little hurt by this.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you be?
Yeah. Like, flip side, also, like, we did just try a lot of shit, and it didn't work out, and, like, someone else is willing to step up and take a little bit of that emotional labor off your hands.
Yeah.
Like, at some level, I think Rainbow Dash, once she's, you know, had 5 minutes to step away from the from Apple Bloom, she'll be better about it. But, like, yeah, definitely in the moment, that hurts.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
And then after, as you said, afterwards, it's like, wait a minute, now I can stop being a coach. I had other stuff I was going to do today.
Yeah, I had shit I was doing.
Yeah.
I'd, like, stop to ask this pony what's up, and then spent the rest of my day trying to coach her how to get her cutie mark.
Yeah. And then, but Pinkie Pie's like, well, I don't have any cupcakes, but we can make some.
And you can help me.
Yeah. And then, we get another pretty good song.
Yeah. The baking song's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Friendship is Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Because, this exact scene gets reused in Friendship is Witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
For Pinkie Pie trying to bake a portal into hell to getting her parents back. Because she was in an orphanage as a kid in Friendship.
Yeah.
Pinkie Pie is very edgy and does say the G slur a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a shame because, like, the song about a tambourine from Friendship is Witchcraft is, like, one of my absolute favorites from way back then. Like, just songs in general. And, God, does it just use the G slur a lot.
Mm.
Very upsetting. But, yeah.
This song was another one where, like, I just started immediately singing along. Like, it's... This one's burned into my brain mostly because I watched a lot of the... There's a TF2 version of it where it's the same song except, like, they dub in the Heavy's voice line, so it's... They're making sandwich.
Very good. Oh, very good.
Sandwich.
Yeah. The Heavy's a good lad.
Yeah. And a teaspoon of bologna.
Fuck.
It's good. And then, So this all happens, and Applebloom is not good at this. She keeps making these, like, hard, charred, like, black chunks that...
Yeah.
They get down, and, like, Pinkie Pie starts eating one. Applebloom's like, are you sure? But, like, but you can tell she's like, I'm not going to eat that. She sees Pinkie Pie eat one. She's like, maybe they're okay. And then Pinkie Pie is, as soon as Applebloom takes a bite of one, Pinkie Pie's like, oh, that tastes terrible. Why did I do that?
Oh, no, it's Pinkie Pie just eats them, like... Pinkie Pie's fine with them.
She even
offers some to Twilight. It's just, like, Applebloom takes one bite and just, like, spits it out and doesn't eat anymore.
Yeah, these are charcoal briquettes that Pinkie Pie is eating. They crunch like them. They are not good. These are baked bads.
Which is funny, right? We had the baked bads episode earlier.
Yeah.
And, like, Pinkie Pie had the thing about, like, being the royal taste tester for Celestia showing up. But, like, nah, Pinkie Pie's being me, eating, like, shitty nothing, because I can barely taste anything. And before anyone asks, nah, this is not involving some sort of sickness that may or may not be happening in the human world that we are not aware of. This has just been me my entire fucking life. Mm-hmm. So, the most relatable thing I know with Pinkie Pie is looking at, like, cupcakes that are technically edible and being like, eh, fuck it, I'll have that.
Yeah.
I am that person. As long as it tastes decently okay, I will eat it.
Yeah, Pinkie Pie is a... I think Pinkie Pie just likes baked goods, no matter, like...
Yeah.
If they're good, hell yeah. But, like, she's not super picky.
Yeah.
And, get on her. And then...
Yeah. I feel seen by Pinkie Pie, which is not a sentence I like saying, but it's good in this context.
I should make sure the blinds are drawn.
Yeah.
Anyways. And then, during all the kerfuffle, Applebloom got some flower on her flank, and she thinks that's her cutie mark. She's like, ooh, what could it be? And then she, like, sees, like, a bunch of different things it could possibly be. And then Pinkie Pie's like, no, it's flower. Did I win?
I won the guessing game. What are we gonna play next?
Please say bingo. Please say bingo.
Oh, God.
How do you play bingo with two people, Pinkie Pie? It doesn't seem very fun.
I mean, you can play bingo with one person. It's just the worst experience you can do.
Yeah, it's just, like, looking at numbers and, like, market that's off on a grid. Bingo is fun when, like, you're playing for prizes.
Yeah. Gambling. Making it fun. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And then, and then...
That happens.
Yeah, and then Twilight shows up, and Applebloom, again, breathlessly recaps the plot of the episode up until now.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that Twilight's response is, I don't follow, but it's not, I don't follow what you said, it's, I don't follow what you want from me.
Yeah.
Which was actually a pretty good joke.
Yeah, like, what do you want me to do? Like, that sucks, I'm sorry, but like...
Yeah.
You're my...
I do not want to do puberty magic on you, small child. Yeah, and please do not make me do puberty magic on you.
Yeah, and like... Apple Bloom's like, can you use your magic to give me a cutie mark? And Twilight's like, that's impossible. Apple Bloom's like, come on, can you try that? Twilight tries, and she like tries several times to zap a cutie mark onto Apple Bloom's flank, and it just does not take. And she's like, Twilight's like winded by this. Like, she's exhausted. And she's like, I told you, like, it doesn't work. Not even magic can make a cutie mark show up before it's time.
Yeah, and like, I kind of appreciate that Twilight just realized, like, she could argue with Apple Bloom for ages, or she could just like give her honest try to do the damn thing and just show that it doesn't work, and she does that instead. Like, again, when episodes aren't about Twilight being incompetent in social situations, she's extremely competent in social situations.
Yeah, it's good to, like, I don't know, see an adult, like, earnestly engaging with a child like this, instead of just saying, but no, of course that wouldn't work, you child, why don't you take my word for it? And that's good.
Yeah.
I appreciate that she, like, you know, indulges Apple Bloom and, like, demonstrates this to her and is like, like, this won't work, but, you know, I can also see why you wouldn't accept that if you were just told it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's...
Adults lie to children all the time. It's reasonable for her to, like, want proof or verification.
Yeah, exactly. Especially after, like, previous adults have, like, tried to help. Having Twilight just say no is not going to be useful in the situation. Yeah.
And then, you know, pretty much right after this happens, the party is here. It was at Sugar Cube Corner, and Apple Bloom is like, how can I forget what time it was? And also that it was at Sugar Cube Corner, and also that Pinkie Pie was hosting it.
Yeah, like, I love that it's just like, oh no, I don't want to go to this party. I'm going to be the only one at this party with no, like, cutie mark. That's going to fucking suck. I don't want to go to this party. And she walks into the party.
Yeah,
like,
it was really good.
It's very good.
Yeah. Ah, geez, how could I have forgotten that this happened?
Yeah, how could I have forgotten all the very important information that I was told earlier?
Yeah, off screen, mind you.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, the first thing I noticed was that, like, there were a lot of adults at this child's birthday, which I realized we were two of them. But also, yeah, this is a child's birthday, it's reasonable to have adults that are supervising. And also, like, if you ask Pinkie Pie to, like, throw a party, she's going to invite every pony she can. Like...
Yeah.
I suspect, especially if, like, this is some rich kid's birthday party, and, like, you know, this is also an opportunity for the dad to show off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine to me.
So, we get an interesting stealth sequence, basically, of...
Tactical horse of... action.
Right? Of Apple Bloom trying various things to first hide and then sneak her way out the door. Notably, one of the things she tries to hide behind is an arrangement of balloons.
Yeah.
In which a unicorn with, like, a safety pin that is open as his cutie mark, so, like, not safe safety pin, is just dancing around with his eyes closed, and his horn is just, like, popping all these balloons. Is that this guy's special talent? Is that he has an extremely sharp horn?
I assumed his special talent was popping things, to be honest.
What a very specific and strange talent. This has to be a fetish, right? That has to be a fetish thing?
I mean, the guy's into inflation. What's your point?
He seems to be more into deflation, into rapid deflation fetish.
I mean, that's also a thing, right? Like, some people...
Yeah.
Some people, the best part of the inflation is the pop at the end. It's like a balloon orgasm.
A ballgasm? Wait, no, shit.
A ballorgasm.
Oh, I don't like that one at all.
And then there's also this whole thing with, there's also this whole thing, like, Apple's trying to hide behind the cake, and then Stales just takes this gigantic bite out of the side of the cake, and David Chara, like, runs up and gets mad at him because, admittedly, like, I'm kind of on her side here. She's mad because I'm supposed to have the first bite of cake. I would be more mad that he just, like, he takes a bite, he eats, like, almost half the cake in one bite without cutting it.
Okay, but, like, that seems to just be a thing at Sugar Cube Corner, that people just take giant bites out of cakes. Like, Spike did it, Pinkie Pie's done it multiple times, Snails just did it. Like, every time we've actually seen people eating cake at this place, they just take bites directly out of the cake It's, and every pony around them is always upset by it. Why does it keep happening?
keep it under a dish or something. So,
right?
So, I've consulted by Horsebase, and this guy's name is either Royal Pin or Pinprick.
His cutie, neither of those are very good.
Yeah, his cutie mark varies between, quote, a safety pin, an hourglass, three chess pieces, and a horseshoe. So I think he's just, like, some background pony they, you know, they use.
Yeah, speaking of background ponies, I was paying some very close attention after I noticed something at the party, which is kind of at the start of the Soul Speakings and stuff. Apple Bloom noticed people walking in the front door, one of which is an adult. Okay, cool. One of which is a like filly unicorn with no fucking cutie mark. We have a guy showing up with no cutie mark. She is not the only blank flank here.
Yep, and that's before we get to the big reveal. There are, in fact, two other named plot-relevant blank flanks here.
Oh, also, because, again, keeping my eye on the background for a lot of this stuff, there was, like, bubble wrap was there, but she had, like, my note for it, she had, like, Rainbow Dash's cutie mark.
Huh.
Yeah.
Bass
like, right? It was definitely bubble wrap, like, same color, same hair and everything. Mm-hmm. I think you can say my color. It's kind of hard to tell. She was in the, like, way in the back and wasn't, like, a very, like, it was a pretty quick flash. But, like, it was definitely, like, cloud and maybe some color of lightning bolt-ish thing going on her flank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was weird.
Yeah. Some merchandising stuff suggests that Royal Pin's talent is either safety, like an OSHA inspector or something, or just, like, into safety, or loves to make clothes. Though I personally like the idea that his special talent is popping things.
Yeah, it is the better one, I think. It's the better of the three options.
Yeah. My special talent, being sharp. And, yeah.
Yeah, it was a blue Pegasus walking the door. I made a note.
Yeah. And
it's important later.
Yeah. And then when Apple Bloom, like, goes and hides under a table, that mm-hmm. table with Punch Bowl on it, and Berry Punch just, like, sticks her head in the punch bowl and does a big slurp, even though there are cups right there.
I'm assuming this is where the joke of Berry Punch being, like, a drunkard comes from, is this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's certainly a good place for it to start. In retrospect, it's weird that her name is Berry Punch when her cutie mark is clearly some grapes, but regardless.
I mean, sometimes it's a bunch of, like, fruit, and sometimes it's just grapes.
Yeah.
It's a little vague.
Yeah. Hey, can you, like, disambiguate your cutie bark for me, ma'am?
No.
Can you ask your butt to make up its mind?
Right?
Because
also in this, one of the ponies she passes is a teal unicorn kid with no fucking cutie mark. So there are now three blank flanks we've seen on screen, including Apple Bloom.
Yep.
Please continue.
Yep. And, long story short, Apple Bloom kind of leaves the safety of under this table and immediately runs into...
She almost gets out the door and runs directly into Applejack.
Yeah, who's like, oh, dang, I didn't know you were going to show up. And then Applejack, like, brings her back into the party, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in all this, Apple Bloom, like, grabs the sheet off of the punch table and makes herself a little piece of clothing out of it.
Yeah.
She does the tablecloth trick perfectly, by the way. She, like, does not move the punch bowl or glasses at all.
Yeah, like, damn, that's a kind of special talent right there.
Yeah.
Because I have seen some art from future seasons where, like, the cutie mark crusaders, like, we haven't even met the other two yet,
mm-hmm.
but, like, they have cutie marks eventually. Like, they get them.
Yeah.
I hope that Apple Blooms has something to do with, like, stage magician bullshit. I really do.
That would be much better. I think it's... I can tell you what they are. They're not really all that good.
I would rather... Like, I remember that I've seen that they exist, but I would rather experience them fresh.
Fair
rather
enough.
Than have it spoiled what they end up actually fair having.
Enough. There's also a lot of fan work out there of, like, people speculating on what their Kingdom Hearts would be before they were revealed in canon.
All right, maybe I saw one of those. I want to find out in the minute that they happen.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think that's Dinky Doo, like, is there with no cutie mark, and, like, no one's weird about her.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, so Applebloom makes herself a little dress, and then Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon show up to bully her, and Applebloom's like, oh, I actually did get my cutie mark. It's just so really super good that it would upstage your cutie mark. It's,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's your party. Which, again, like, mind you, Diamond Tiara, despite talking about her outfit earlier, you cannot see her or Silver Spoon's cutie mark.
And I'd also like to point out, this fucking bluff works.
Yeah.
Like, Diamond Tiara's like, yeah, you know what, yeah, keep your cutie mark covered, though.
Yeah, Diamond Tiara 100% believes this. Which, I mean, again, children will believe things when you lie to them. That's one of the things about children.
Today, Graceful Sparks, important information. Our letter to Princess Celestia says, you can lie to kids and they will believe you.
Yeah. Mind you, when I say can, I mean it is possible to.
Yeah.
I know. Haven't we all been in a situation where, like, I don't know, another kid tells you this preposterous story, but you believe it because you're also a child and you don't know very much? Like, oops, yeah. Among Us has not heard and at least believe for a second the idea that, I don't know, you can get Mew by pushing that truck in Pokemon Yellow or whatever. Or,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that, right? Children lie to each other all the time and, you know, sometimes believe
Nintendo
it.
Nintendo 65.
Yeah. I Apple Bloom's uncle works at Horse Tendo.
Horse Tendo? It's like chicken tendies, but a horse?
My uncle works at Horse Tendies, and he says they're coming out with a new shape next year.
Right?
Weird blob, too.
Hypercube.
Rotate that in your mind.
You can't. It's a hypercube. Good fucking luck.
Yeah. Yeah, so they believe this, and then Applebloom immediately, like, trips over her dress and, puts her blank flag on full display for everyone. It works, but...
Because she also runs into the record table, like, the record player, like, so it also does, like, record scratch into her ass just way in the air.
Yeah, so now everyone is looking at her when this happens.
Yeah. And, yeah, Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon get in some more jabs, and some of the adults in the room join in the laughter now.
Yeah, which is fucked up.
Real fucked up, guys.
Yeah, like, But, luckily, Sweetie Belle and Scootaloo were hiding under a different punch bowl table, I guess? Or the same one, possibly, and just no one noticed.
Right? I love that it's just like, these two showed up to the party and were hiding under the table the entire time, just like Applebloom was, but as soon as they're like, wait a second, there's two of us here, and another blank flank's getting harassed, fuck it, we're gonna stand up against these assholes.
Which, like, I can maybe see why Sweetie Belle would be here if, like, Rarity wanted her to go. Though Rarity isn't here, so Rarity does not appear in this episode at all. And, Scootaloo doesn't have parents that we know of. Like, Rainbow Dash kind of takes her under her wing, but, like, I find it difficult to believe Rainbow Dash would, like, have an opinion on whether Scootaloo goes to this party.
Maybe this is before, and Scootaloo just showed up because it was a party kids were going to.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to dig into some Scootaloo history at some point.
Some Scootalore, if you will.
Yeah. Like, God, to be fair, if there was one child in any fictional setting that I would willingly take care of, it actually would be Scootaloo. I like Scootaloo. She's a wonderful little bean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sorry.
Good horse. And then, basically, they show up and they, like, you know, they defend Applebloom, they tell Diamond Tiara and Silver Spoon off, like, yeah, we're blank flanks too. And then they're like, oh, she's a blank flank, she's got potential, she could be a great scientist, or a great writer, or even mayor of Ponyville, which is by far the least impressive of the four things they named.
Yeah, notably, of the ponies listing, some of them, like, a lot of the other kids are like, oh, maybe I got a point. But, like, Twist is right up front with a giant grin, like, she's like, yeah, fuck yes. Yes, I love my friends getting support. This is good, actually.
Yeah. Why aren't you helping, Twist?
Because if my memory of the show's in and go by, this is the only time we see her, and she just kind of stops existing after this.
We see her later a little bit, but this is, I think, the most anyone will ever care about Twist. Which is a shame, because I always liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And then this all happens, and then at this point I realized, wait, so, Applebloom has never met neither Sweetie Belle nor Scootaloo. They're clearly not in her class at the start, but we will see them going to the same school later. Did Sweetie Belle and Scootaloo not go to school? Or is this like a morning and afternoon school thing? Like,
probably, because it is, like, that schoolhouse is small enough that it's only got one classroom in.
Yeah, it's a one-room schoolhouse, and it's just cheerily. So, like...
Yeah, so it probably is, like, she teaches one group of students in the morning and one group in the afternoon.
Yeah, or an alternating days type thing or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, chances are the Kumar Crusaders, like, talked to her and got their classes shifted around so they could be together, which, I mean... Cheerily does seem to be the kind of teacher to care on that front.
Yeah.
And being cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh, hey, this kid made some friends? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Notably, were you about to talk about Twilight, or are you going to move past the fact Twilight shows up to talk to the Crusaders for a second?
No, the thing I was going to say was, I think this is a little before that. Maybe it isn't. The next thing in my notes is, that, like, they even kind of veer into, like, oh, what if having a cutie mark is bad, actually? Like... Pony's like, oh, I rushed into getting a cutie mark, or, like, maybe it should have been a blank blank for longer, but, like...
Yeah, that's right after the thing
I
want to talk about.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Because, yeah, like, when they're having the whole, like, being a blank blank means you're full of potential, like, the blank blank just means that you're, you know, the fool tarot card.
Yeah.
Like, Twilight walks up and is like, oh, I'm so proud of you for, like, realizing this stuff. Like, it's good. Like, you'll get your cutie marks whenever you're ready. And, like, front and center while she's talking is... another blank blank like unicorn. There are two blank blank unicorns and a blank blank Pegasus here in this party that were, like, visible on screen.
I don't think anyone told the animators that, like, what the episode was about, or, like, whoever was in charge of the background ponies.
Yeah, we just have another cutie mark Crusader trio that probably, like, just make their own gang to hang out with that we never find out about.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there is definitely also the kid who has the sentence of, maybe I got my cutie mark too soon.
But, like, it's weird because it's not something you have any control over, right? Like, the episode made clear that, like, it's not something you can rush into. It is, by definition, not something you can rush into.
Like, the only thing I can think of is if we're leaning really heavily into the puberty metaphor, and this pony realized they trans, and oh no, I got my puberty too soon. I should have got on hormone blockers sooner.
I should have got on hormone blockers.
Right? But, like, I mean, look, they're, like, what, fucking six or whatever age group these kids are supposed to be representing? I'm a bit older than that. Mm-hmm. Still, like, they're preteen. Get this kid some hormones. Let them figure out their life. It's fine. Their body will develop if they decide to stop.
Yeah,
whatever.
Like, depending on how... Yeah, these kids are at the cusp of teenagehood. Like, if we are supposed to take the fact that this is supposed to be a quinceañera, literally, then Diamond Tiara is 15 or thereabouts, which seems a little on the old side. They seem like they're definitely, like, preteens, or, you know, maybe horse 13 at the oldest, but even that seems a little old.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely written as children.
Yeah, ambiguously children.
Yeah. Like the two horse age groups are child and adult.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we see teen ponies at some point, but I don't think for a while. I mean, we kind of saw teen Cheerily, but even then, I think she was more of an adult then. She was a young adult then.
Yeah, it feels like it's just going to be one day they're like tiny little beans with adorable marshmallow legs, and then they wake up the next day and they're just full-sized adult ponies. Mm-hmm. And no one questions what happens in the intervening time.
Yeah. You spend a big horse chrysalis. Not the horse chrysalis is in the changeling queen we'll meet later, but
right, that's a thing. No, it's just like the Elements of Harmony flash of color, or like when Twilight put on her organization vest.
Yeah.
just a flash of color and. Like, you just a flashbang just drops out of your mouth, and then you're an adult.
Yeah.
You know, the normal way to go through puberty.
Yeah, it's like being a sim, where, like, on the special day, you just kind of, like, spin around really fast, and some confetti happens, and boom, adult.
Done. Yeah, perfect. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Don't add us.
You know how hard it is to draw a horse growing up? It's hard.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Anyways, we kind of cut to the Kingdom Hearts creators, like, talking to each other and, like, coming up with a name for the little group. And they ban him around. Scootaloo's line here, I'm liking this idea, that came up a lot. That was a pretty common, like, phrase in the fandom, often paired with that picture of Scootaloo.
I mean, it's a good line. Yeah. Like, it's close to how I talk now.
Yeah.
And not entirely, like, definitely not influenced by Sweetapel having said it. Just like, that's just a thing I say sometimes.
For one thing, Scootaloo said it, but yes.
Right, yes, sorry, thank you. I have forgotten which of the three, like, adorable polycule-to-be it was that said it.
Yeah.
Because, like, gah, these three are adorable.
Yeah, and then, I remember the first time around, like, not really liking the Cutie Mark Crusaders too much, so I'll be interested to see if I like them more this time around.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold judgment until the hair metal episode again.
I remember liking that one, at least.
I remember... cringe. It was so I thought it was so cringe when I watched it the first time. That was before that was even like a popular word to use. I was just like, oh, this hurts. My body is collapsing in on itself. I am so embarrassed for these ponies.
See, I thought it was, but no, I remember liking it. I thought that was a high point for the Cutie Mark Crusader, so it'll be interesting to get back to it.
Yeah. I think my opinion will have changed a lot. Like, I think I'm going to like it, mm-hmm. but I remember hating it at the time. Mm-hmm. So, I'm waiting for us to get there, and then I'm going to have my, like, real opinions on the Crusaders, I think.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Because we will be seeing more of the Crusaders, dear listener. If you haven't figured it out yet, we will be seeing quite a bit of these horses.
Welcome to the secondary main three that are not the main six.
Yeah, they're kind of the other, like, larger group of horses, the other group of horses we will be following around.
If this was an 80s sitcom, you know as fuck these horses would get, like, a three-season spinoff.
Oh, absolutely. This is, like, the Frasier of horse, if you're keeping track at home.
Yeah.
This is the Frasier to the horse to pony Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that cleared anything up for anyone, but here we are.
It made it more confusing for me, but I'll take it.
Happy to help. Mm. That's a portmanteau of horse and help. Got him.
Spark?
Yes, Beans?
No! You're not allowed to make jokes like that.
Aw.
I mean, no, it's fine. It's very good.
Damn actually. Right, I'm the best.
The best in the biz. Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's Applebloom that suggests, well, what about the Cutie Mark Crusaders? And then they all like that one, and then...
Yeah. Can I just say, like, Applejack's been... the driving factor of some of the racism in the Zakura episode,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the Apple family has kind of consistently been, like, kind of southern-coded.
Yeah.
So having the person from the Apple family recommend Crusaders as the name for the group has some vibes I don't think the show thought about at the time.
Correct.
Like, but here we are, living in it.
To Applebloom's credit, she was the one who, like, hey, let's not be racist. She was...
Yeah, that's fair.
That doesn't... anyways.
There's loaded terms going on here. Agree. And, I'm just going to acknowledge it now, so we don't need to acknowledge it later.
Yeah, good call. So they have this whole thing where, like, Scootaloo tries to eat a cupcake. Applebloom was like, no, that's... Don't eat that, because there's...
Trust me, don't do that one.
And then they have some cookies, and, they all start enjoying themselves, and Twilight's Letter to Celestia, it includes the phrase, one of your youngest subjects, which creeps me the heck out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not inaccurate. Do we ever actually see, like, baby ponies?
Yeah, we saw one in this episode, where we saw that picture Cheerilee showed of herself.
Yeah, but, like, she was, like, the age of her students then, I thought.
I thought it was, like, her when she had been born, right? Like, that was the idea.
I guess? Either way, like, it's technically correct that, yes, Applebloom is in the tiny marshmallow state rather than the full-grown marshmallow state. So she is one of the youngest subjects. That is fair. It's concerning, but accurate.
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe it's just, like, the part of my brain that's an anti-monarchist, just like,
Whatever you say, Princess Graceful Spark.
Look, that's a sex thing.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Monarchist is a sex thing, anti-monarchist in every other form.
Yeah.
I get
you. Yeah, like, look, I like to be called princess as a sex thing, or, if someone just wants to call me princess, I'll take that in stride. In my head, it corresponds to my name as well. If someone says princess, I will assume they're talking to or about me. But, I don't think I should be given any hereditary power because of it. I should be given hereditary power because I'm hot and I'm confident.
Look, as any good communist will tell you, hierarchy is only for in the bedsheets.
Exactly. This happens, and then In my notes, I summarize it as, "Dear Princess Celestia, Sweetie Belle Applebloom and Scootaloo taught me it was okay to be weird. Your faithful student, Twilight Sparkle."
Yeah, that about covers it.
Mm-hmm. And then we kind of get the zoom in on Celestia's cutie mark, and then boom, end of episode.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, your cutie mark is special and all that, and then Celestia, like, turns her, looks at her ass, and is like, and the camera zooms in on that sun, and it's like, Celestia, you're the fucking sun god? Yeah, we get it, you're special. We know you're special, Celestia. You're the fucking sun god. We don't need to see your cutie mark. It's a giant sun. We know. You raise it every fucking morning. We have to find out about it. We all have to stand in the fucking town square and sing the national anthem because of it, Celestia.
We have to punch allegiance to the damn sun every morning.
Right? Oh boy.
Admittedly, it's a pretty good message to say, sometimes the thing you think your friends are gonna make fun of you for is actually, like, something cool and good that can bring you closer together. Mm. Which is not a bad moral. I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, look. That being normal is for squares.
Yeah.
You gotta be queer, or else you're just boring.
I think the more broadly applicable moral the show is trying to do is, like, hey kids, don't be afraid to, like, have interests and be different from the people around you. You'll find much more fulfilling friendships that way. Which is correct. Good moral show, and it, like, corresponds with the text of the episode. Mostly.
And the double duty of, like, hey, puberty will happen whenever it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, assuming you're cis, just kind of go with it.
Yeah.
If you're questioning you're trans, I don't know, see a therapist.
I believe in you.
Yeah, exactly. Look, okay, the thing is, there definitely shouldn't be someone who is dealing with, like, current puberty listening to our podcast. But if you are, and you're lying to the website about how old you are, one, we can't be held responsible for that. Two, fucking see a therapist.
Yeah.
If you're feeling some gender feels from the stuff we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Very cool of you, for one.
Yeah.
For another, I would love to learn how you found out about our podcast. But
yeah, same, actually.
But somehow you're, like, how did you find our podcast without, like, following one of us? Because we're...
Yes. Hmm. Where this is 18 plus, yeah. So please don't be following us if you aren't. And if you aren't over the age of 18 and you are following us, tell us how you found out about us on your 18th birthday, please.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear from you until then.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not make us culpable in your lie.
Yeah. It's cool and good to lie, but don't make us deal with that.
Yeah, don't make it our problem.
Mm-hmm. And that's horse, baby.
That's horse. Well, I mean, mostly. Earlier today, Bubble Wrap did drop off two letters.
Oh, that she did?
Yeah. I even pre-opened one of them for you, so here you go.
Oh, thank you, dear. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. We got one where the brain's a little wiggly, but, well, glass houses and all. Two graceful spark and spilled beans. I look forward to visiting your cafe once it's open. Maybe we can speak directly there. I only ever seem to run into you when our younger locals are out solving problems, and try as I might, I can't seem to speak either of your names aloud when they're about. It's quite peculiar. Alas, I lost my entire smoothie cart due to recent events, though I had been wanting to make a bigger one, and now I have the perfect excuse. P.S. Graceful Spark is quite right, though. You do make such adorable noises. Sincerely, hey. Strawberry Squeeze.
Oh no, oh god, I thought we had soundproofed this a bit better.
Aw. I mean... We make noise when we're out and about, right?
Okay, that's fair.
You don't stop being cute just when we're outside, dear.
Look, fine, but okay, we're gonna have to go get some more smoothies from Strawberry Squeeze.
I agree.
They're good smoothies.
I agree. And, you know, if I should happen to nibble your ear or, you know, remark on how cute you are, give you a little squeeze while we're doing it, well, I think we would both enjoy that.
Yeah, do you want to open the second letter, or...
Yeah, no, I got it.
Alright.
Anyways. Dear Graceful Spark and Spilled Beans, thanks as always for the wonderful episode. Your mention of potentially being an Equestria for years has me wondering, what long-term goals do you have for your horse lives? Will you get horse married? Start a horse family? With friendship, Noelle.
Oh. Are we... I kind of assumed we were just somehow already horse married.
I'll be honest,
is that wrong?
I had also been operating under that assumption that we were basically horse married, that we'd be living together for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
I
think both of us are at least somewhat polite. Yeah. So
I don't know. Do you want me to call you my horse wife?
Let me think on that one. I don't know if I actually like the sound of it.
Pony wife.
It's the wife part, actually.
Understandable.
Now that I think about it more.
Understandable, dear.
A little bit of past trauma, a little bit of weird hang-ups on language. It's good times.
Understandable, dear. There's no need to rush into it. We have several years in Equestria to work this out.
That's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we should wait on knocking you up, too?
I don't know if I can get horse pregnant.
That's a good point.
Pregnant, if you will.
Am I pregnant? Am I Hragante?
Pregnant?
Am I pregnant? Am I horse eggnant?
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Am I turgid with horse eggs?
Oh, no. We cannot talk about being turgid with eggs.
Well, I mean, we can. We just did.
We did.
Egg, egg, eggy, eggy, egg. Take this egg and make you preg?
Preg. Oh, man, I don't know if I like this at all anymore.
Okay.
Weird. Eggs do seem to make more sense than being horse pregnant. I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, we will get an on-screen pregnancy at some point. Like,
we will?
Oh, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Cake have kids.
Oh, yikes. Oh, fuck, what am I signed up for?
I mean, we're not going to watch. But, okay, like, good. We will get, like, some kind of discussion of where baby horses come from.
Okay, I'm glad that at some point they address it.
I don't know how much detail they go into, but, like...
We'll find out.
Yep. And, in the meantime, dear, we can leave the eggs for the bedroom.
And again, like, we already had the conversation of, like, hey, I don't know, if Scootaloo needs somewhere to hang out that isn't, you know, Rainbow Dash's... Lesbian Sky Palace. She can come to the Lesbian Cafe instead.
Exactly. And, well, can't imagine it's easier for her to get up there, given that Scootaloo can't fly yet.
Yeah.
And hence the name Scootaloo. She's got a scooter.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It does answer the question of, like, if when her wings grow in, will she continue to scoot? Would assume so.
Yeah, just with more speed.
Yeah.
Oh, she could do sick jumps if she could actually fly as well. But, like, I'm very here for a pony that... can fly, but prefers to use scooter.
Yeah, she'll be a regular pony hawk.
Yes, thank you.
Happy to help.
I'm reminded of a scribble I made ages ago, which, if I can crawl through the internet hard enough to get it, I might need to repost, of Tony Hawk, but it's a griffin.
Ah, very good.
Pony Hawk is also very good, though.
Mm-hmm. Pony Hawk's tro skater. Thank you.
Don't know about that one.
Yeah, I was just trying to conserve the letters. It didn't work. I was just trying to conserve letters.
I appreciate the effort. It was a worthy cause, but a doomed one.
Mm-hmm. I'm a mad scientist here. It comes with the territory.
Pony Talk Rose Skater.
Pony Talks Rose Skater?
Is that anything?
I'm imagining like a pony that can talk, so like a pony, but they're skating through some roses?
Yeah.
Or it's like, I don't know, it's like a farming game or a gardening game, but you're on wheels the whole time, and also, like, hosting a talk show.
So it's a visual novel, but also about, farm skating? I don't know. This feels like we're getting further from it being a thing every time.
Yeah, I think we're trying too hard. It'll come to us if it's anything.
Yeah. And we had a third thing that they mentioned you'd,
Oh, yes.
Third piece of correspondence to deal with.
Yes, as part of a dark pact I've made, a dark pact called friendship, I should tell you all...
My Little Pony dark pact is friendship.
What is a pact with a demon, if not an unorthodox form of powerful friendship? I asked you that. Anyways, an old friend of mine, a friend I've known for a majority of my life at this point, if I'm counting correctly, like, dude and I go way back, like, we knew each other in, like, fifth grade or some shit.
Oh, damn.
He is kickstarting his tabletop RPG. It's called Cyberpunk Noir. He has been working on it for, like, the past 10 years. I've been there pretty much the entire step of the way, playing it, you know, helping him refine it here and there. And he is doing a Kickstarter for it. And, you know, check it out. The video on the page is me and me and him and another friend plan a session of it. Lasts about an hour, and you get to meet Sparky, a ass-kicking car mechanic who steals a car with her old crime friend, Clock.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I enjoyed doing that session. And, you have a look. I'll put a link in the description, and probably at isekai.horse as well, so check it out if you like.
Yeah, I'll boost the signal over on that as well for folks who are more attentive on the Twitter.
Thank you, dear. What a helpful horse.
Yeah.
My little assistant pony.
I do my best to be, at least. Look, hench energy is kink energy. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's very good. If I had to get isekai, dear, I'm glad I got isekai with you. A very good hench horse.
Aw, yay.
Very soft, very helpful, very smoochable. What more could a pony want?
Two hench ponies.
Okay, yes, but, you know, missing that.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It just means I can appreciate you more.
That's fair.
And welcome you even more irredeemably into my clutches, dear.
Okay. Should we, go end the podcast? And, deal with some clutches, then?
Oh, let's, shall we? You sound like you're excited.
Yeah. I'm Spilled Beans. You can find me running the Horse Isekai Twitter, or the weird connection through whatever strange pact we're in. Other things I do at dracos.art. That's around. It's a thing.
It's a good thing too, dear.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go get ready now. Okay.
Okay, dear. Have fun. I'll finish up here. Truly, it was. We are hit by a horse trucking at Isekai to Equestria. I have been Ponyville's beloved Graceful Spark. You can find my writing, programs, podcast posts, and everything else that's fit to plug at princess.software. And I'll put the link to that tabletop in the description. See you next week, dudes. Mwah.